Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
One of the principles in God's Word is that as Christians we are constantly putting off the old and putting on the new. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's the principle. You put off the old, you put on the new. You put off the carnal, you put on the spiritual. You put off the old Adam, you put on the new Adam. You put off the things that pertain to the kingdom of darkness, and you put on the things that pertain to the kingdom of light. You put off fallen, sinful man, and you put on Christ's likeness. And that is a lifelong endeavor. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Let's be more specific. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, in Christ, forgave you. Well, Paul lays it all out, doesn't he? Off with the old, on with the new. And that is exactly what the church covenant is getting at in the last clause of the third paragraph, which says, we engage to be exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to be zealous in our efforts to glorify our Savior. The church covenant doesn't list as many things as Paul does in Ephesians chapter 4, but you get the idea. Off with the old way of life. Off with the old way of behaving. Get rid of tattling. Get rid of backbiting. Get rid of excessive anger. There are times, dear friend, when not to talk is sinful, but there are other times, usually more, when to talk is sinful. Sometimes silence is not golden. It's merely yellow. It's cowardice, and we all know that. But oftentimes, more oftentimes, silence is golden. We need to learn to bite our tongue. We need to learn to restrain our speech. We need to learn to not say what we want to say on so many occasions. We need to learn to rein it in. Don't say that. Don't say that, what you are thinking. Don't say what you want to say. Don't say what you're just dying to let out. Don't say that, because it pertains to the old man, not to the new Christ-likeness. No tattling, no backbiting, no excessive anger. Isn't that an interesting way to put it in the church covenant? No excessive anger. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure, and usually antagonism. What is excessive anger? Well, excessive means exceeding the usual, the proper, or the normal. So excessive anger is anger that exceeds the usual, proper, or normal strong feeling of displeasure and antagonism. Now, let's try to figure this out. We are going to avoid excessive anger. Anger that is beyond the norm. Whose norm? God's norm. The Bible's norm. Well, is there any anger that is normal for a Christian? Proper? Yes. Yes. And we look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfect example, and we are reminded that at times it is not only appropriate to be angry, but it would be sinful not to be. Was Christ angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple? He was, but it was controlled. It was not excessive anger. How do we know? One way we know, well, of course we know, because Christ was the sinless Son of God, and everything he did was holy and perfect and sinless, so we know that it was not excessive anger, that is sinful anger. But one objective way we can observe this and know is that though he drove the money changers out with a whip, mind you, that doesn't sound like wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, always smiling, always lovey-dovey kind of Christianity, even in the face of sin and evil. Oh, I get so tired of that. That's not what he did. He drove the money changers out of the temple. He displayed righteous indignation, we usually call it, to distinguish it from sinful anger. He displayed righteous indignation, but let's call it what it is, righteous anger. When he turned over the money, the tables with the money on them, but he told those who sold the birds to take them out of here. He didn't knock over the bird cages. He didn't injure the birds. Not sinful anger. Not excessive anger. Not unrighteous anger. Perfectly righteous, controlled anger. Rightfully angry with sin. Now, how can we be children of God and never get angry with sin? If we can't get angry with sin, then there's something wrong with our moral compass. In fact, the opposite of love is hate. The opposite of kindness is anger. And though we are to love our enemies and be kind toward them, that doesn't mean that we are weak and namby-pamby in the face of evil. We find other occasions when Jesus was angry. For example, in the synagogue. Mark says this in Mark chapter 3. And he entered the synagogue again, and the man was there who had a withered hand. So he watched him closely, or they rather watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to him, or he said to them rather, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, who? Jesus. When he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. He looked around at them, the worshippers in the synagogue, and particularly the leaders. He looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Did Jesus ever get angry? He certainly did. Did others of God's people get righteously angry? They certainly did. Was Moses righteously angry in Exodus chapter 16? He certainly was. Was Paul righteously angry in Acts 17:16? He certainly was. We ought to be angry toward sin. We ought to be angry toward hypocrisy. We ought to be angry at those things which are an affront to God, an affront to our Savior, an affront to righteousness, the truth of God's Word, those things which are deceiving people and taking them to eternal destruction. We ought to be angry at such things which are destroying lives. Righteous anger can energize us to proper action. It can stir us up to good works, to oppose evil, to try to stem the flood tide of sin and destructive behavior, to find creative ways to provide alternatives for people who are in danger of being entrapped by sin. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry," that's righteous anger, "and sin not." Did you catch that? Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Be angry. That's a command. That's an instruction. God's people are to be angry, but never in their anger are they to sin. Because even righteous anger can turn into sinful words or actions when it crosses the line, when it goes beyond the norm, the righteous norm. And that's why the church covenant pledges that we will avoid tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, take proper action to resolve your anger quickly and righteously, and take action to repent of and repair any unrighteous anger that may have accompanied it. And so, off with the old man, and on with the new. Off with tattling, gossip, backbiting, and excessive anger, any anger which is sinful. Get those things out of your life. How many people have been destroyed by excessive anger which could not be controlled? I could tell you tale after tale after tale. I have watched it. I can remember many years ago a man that I tried very hard to help who wanted to win his wife back. The marriage had been greatly damaged by his anger, and his wife had given up hope and had gone back to live with her parents and was not interested in reconciliation. And he was determined to win her back. And he spent months working slowly, carefully, methodically to persuade her, to convince her, to win her trust back. And finally, she decided, she agreed to go out on a date with him. And we were so excited. And we prayed for the success of this time together. And 2 or 3 hours later, I heard a knock at the door, and there he stood by himself. And I said, "How did it go?" And he said, "I blew my top. I got angry." Do you think he could ever win her back now? Not likely. Not likely. Oh, dear friends, learn by God's help and grace to control your sinful anger. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.